You're listening to CJSF at 90.1 FM in Burnaby. CJSF is diverse, independent, and yours. Uniquely curated programming by our hosts maintains an independent voice among the masses. You keep CJSF independent.
This is The Scoop, a weekly regional roundup of stories from remote radio stations in British Columbia. Each week, The Scoop features news created by fellow LJI journalists in the communities of Smithers, Prince George, Nanaimo, Burnaby, and the Comox Valley. LJI is the local journalism initiative, and it's how your best local news is funded on these participating stations. Now, let's see what's happening this week in BC.
Today in The Scoop, the Museum of Vancouver's newest exhibit, Living with Long COVID, documents the everyday lives of people living with the condition. Danny Nesvarandi at CJSF in Burnaby has more. The Nanaimo Food Bank faces its biggest decline in donations while seeing an increase in need. Laura McKenzie at CHLY Nanaimo tells us that story. And a new exhibit at the Buckley Valley Museum celebrates Smithers' holiday traditions. Pam Hassan at CICK News tells us more. Stay tuned. I'm Dan Messick. You're listening to The Scoop.
Reporting from Vancouver, BC, this is Danny Nesvarandi, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. Long COVID is a chronic medical condition that can consist of long-term and sometimes debilitating health issues as the result of a previous COVID-19 infection. The Museum of Vancouver's newest exhibit documents the everyday lives of people living with the condition, which, according to Statistics Canada, has now affected up to 1 in 9 Canadians. The exhibition is simply titled, Living with Long COVID. For this exhibition, the Museum of Vancouver collaborated with researchers from Simon Fraser University's Faculty of Health Sciences and the Post-COVID-19 Interdisciplinary Clinical Care Network. The exhibition is primarily photography-based, with clusters of pictures and text provided by individuals living with long COVID who agreed to participate in the exhibition. To find out more about what the exhibition entailed, CJSF visited the Museum of Vancouver, where we were able to speak with Vivian Gosling, the museum's curatorial lead. The first question we asked was, how did this exhibition and collaboration with SFU and the Clinical Care Network come to be?
Yeah, so excellent question. I will say that about half our exhibitions are proposed by people, partners, organizations outside the Museum of Vancouver. So so we remember receiving a call from the Faculty of Health Sciences. So Rakib Tesfaye, who's a researcher there, approached us and just called me by saying, we work with long haulers, like so people living with long COVID, and doing research on the subject, and yet working with long haulers, they have told us that they feel invisible and would like to work on something public where they can express themselves and talk about this issue.
Next, we asked what the community response has been like so far for this exhibition on living with long COVID.
I will say for the long haulers, when they come here, and we met quite a few actually on opening day, and the general sense was they were pleased and happy to see themselves, even though they had not necessarily participated in and submitted photos for the project. They saw themselves, they felt heard, felt seen. So that was, that was very positive because that was like one of the goals. The other goal was public awareness, right? Like destigmatize also the topic of long COVID because it is misunderstood, people don't want to talk about it, or people feel judged because people are if they're talking about their symptoms, because there's not a lot of public education on the topic, these individuals feel that like the message they get is it's all in your head. You should try to do some yoga and a bit of exercise and you'll feel better.
We then asked what reactions they received from individuals attending this exhibition that may not have been informed about long COVID beforehand.
There's, members of the public who, you know, really hadn't planned to see an exhibition on long COVID, but just stumbled upon it. And we hear their comments, we do some tracking, and we can see people are surprised. Again, they're surprised by how little they knew about the condition. And also about the severity of the condition. Like the people who submitted, the vast majority are homebound, and their daily life has changed radically since getting COVID and living with the aftermath. And for people in the public health sector, I hope it's going to be a bit of a shake-up, right? Like when museums are partnering with research centers in making this more public, it means that it has to be felt in like daily practitioners, like physicians should know more about it. And also it is underdiagnosed, right? So if practitioners, health practitioners are more attuned, they may be able to refer their patients to specialists and support them in their healing or just kind of stabilizing their condition.
Afterwards, we asked Ghislaine if she could go over some of the experiences depicted by those living with long COVID who submitted photos and text for this exhibition.
Part of this project, it's a photo-based project, it's about self-documentation and representation, and we said that part of the constraint, if you want, is document your day, and you can submit one and up to six images for that day, right? And so what I guess strikes me is when people are making reference to their life before, like everything that they were doing, and how, for example, now just going and walking a short walk around the corner or just walking your dog for 15 minutes will completely like drain them. They have to go back to bed, right? So so that's struck me, is how their life has been, like kind of their day-to-day life has been, their universe has shrunk, if I can say it that way. But at the same time, we see great efforts to, figure out how to feel better, document their conditions, like a lot of kind of resourcefulness, and they know that they have this one appointment, and like prepping and researching and trying to understand best they can, like, so a lot of agency in that, like kind of trying to take some control over their condition. Looking at when I keep seeing like pets, like dogs and cats, I think provides great comfort to people who have them. Like it's something that they mention. It's like, I don't know what I would do if I didn't have, so and so. And so I think that presence is, alleviates, if you want, some of the symptoms at times. But we also see these photos where someone made little stars out of like the many pills and supplements they have to take. So a lot of people are showing their bottles of medication and prescribed and not prescribed, and creating their own cocktail. And again, this is not filtered by a medicalized eye. This is very much the lived experience of long haulers. So we're not saying, hey, this is your treatment. Like for those who, this is them sharing what they're living. And I think whether you're from, you're a researcher or a scientist or just a member of the public, I think essentially we're asked to bear witness. And if people had not given any thought about this issue, this is the time to think about what that means. And given the high number of Canadians, so one out of 9 has experienced long COVID. Thinking about our, you know, our friends and neighbors, and like, guaranteed, Danny, that you know people who are living with long COVID. And so how can we help? Is there, you know, how can we support these people?
Lastly, Vivian Gosling left us with what she hopes people are able to take away from the Living with Long COVID exhibition at the Museum of Vancouver.
I'd say come, and I'm in awe with the courage and honesty of long haulers. I, you know, have deep admiration, and yeah, I'm humble, and I hope that people will come, because the more we get to understand the experience of these people, but also the context and the condition, because there's our partners at SFU had produce short texts about what is long COVID and what are the symptoms and the kind of impact it has. I think we have a responsibility to educate ourselves.
Once again, that was our conversation with Vivian Gosling, the curatorial lead for the Museum of Vancouver, on the Living with Long COVID exhibition, which is up until March 22nd, 2026. This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM.
This is a CJOI News Update. Loaves and Fishes Community Food Bank is facing unprecedented difficulties due to financial challenges and having to make changes to this year's Christmas hamper program. Peter Sinclair, executive director of Loaves and Fishes for almost 15 years, says he has never been confronted with such a significant financial challenge. Over the last year, Loaves and Fishes has seen a 20% decrease in donations, causing the organization to take a monthly operating deficit of approximately $35,000. As financial donations continue to decline, while food security rises across Vancouver Island, Sinclair tells CHOI that they are now forced to modify this year's Christmas hamper program.
I mean, that's not sustainable, and we want to make sure that our programs are sustainable so that, you know, when people need us in the future, we're still here. Because if, you know, we run out of money and we have to close the doors, then that's not going to help anyone.
In the past, Loaves and Fishes has run their Christmas food hamper by handing out gift cards valued based on household size to local grocery stores, supplemented with extra food. But with the decrease in donations this year, they'll only be able to hand out gift cards. Sinclair says every month they see about 3,000 people access their free food market in Nanaimo. But come Christmas time, they see over 5,000 people access the Christmas hamper. He says they have seen a 15 to 20% increase in people coming to Loaves and Fishes for food over the last year.
Over the last few months, it's been somewhat stable, but it is a jump up for sure. So when we see, you know, it climb earlier in the year, you know, it doesn't then drop back down. It kind of holds at that new high. And so we are serving more people than ever before.
This year, people can register for a Christmas hamper appointment through their website starting November 15th. While it is too late for the food bank to order additional food for the Christmas hamper, Loaves and Fishes is now issuing an urgent call for community donor support to be used to increase the gift card amounts to supplement the lack of additional food items. As well, the funds would be used to sustain other services. Sinclair says as they deal with their financial struggles, he worries more services may need to be changed or cut going into 2026 as they set to move into their new warehouse in March. This warehouse has been supported by the City of Nanaimo with a land purchase of $1.3 million. The Regional District of Nanaimo with funding of $275,000, and the Government of BC with funding of $7 million. But Loaves and Fishes is still waiting on funding from the Government of Canada. That was promised in a 2024 Fall Economic Statement.
And this is where we are hopeful that the federal government will come through with the $5 million that they have promised for this building. Because without that funding from the federal government, we will be looking at taking out a mortgage that would result in a $30,000 a month mortgage payment. And so if you combine that additional expense with the ongoing shortfall that we have right now, we would most definitely be forced to make cuts in our services. And so,
along with financial and food-related donations, Sinclair says they are also in need of more volunteers.
Our regular hamper program is going to run right through December, and that relies upon the food that we've collected getting sorted. If the food doesn't get sorted, we can't give it to people.
But Sinclair says he is still hopeful the community can come together and help support them during this time.
I mean, I hear from people every day how much they appreciate the work that we're doing. They appreciate the commitment that we've got. They appreciate our track record. And so, when people know the need, I'm confident that they're going to respond.
For the many ways to donate to Loaves and Fishes Community Food Bank, visit their website at www.vifoodbank.org. Volunteer sign up and the list of shifts for the Nanaimo-Port Hardy area can also be found on their website. For CHY News, this is Laura McKenzie.
This is CICK News. The Bulkley Valley Museum in Smithers is inviting the community to help build its next exhibit, and it's all about celebration. The exhibit, called Smithers Celebrates, is a community-curated display that highlights the many ways people in the valley mark the season, from Christmas tree ornaments and family recipes to Diwali lamps and cultural traditions from around the world. I sat down with Kira Wespe, curator of the Bulkley Valley Museum, to talk about how the idea came together, what kinds of submissions they're hoping to receive, and how this exhibit reflects Smithers' growing diversity and shared love of celebration.
My name is Kira Wespe, and I'm the curator of the Bulkley Valley Museum.
We're talking today about Smithers Celebrates. Can you tell me and our listeners what that is?
So Smithers Celebrates is what we're hoping is going to be a community-curated or contributed exhibit. We essentially have a weird four-week gap in our exhibit schedule between two traveling shows, and that's not a lot of time to try and put together a whole exhibition of historical material because there's usually quite a lot of research involved. And I started to think about how much Smithers loves Christmas. Smithers is super Christmassy, as we all know, and it was like, oh, we need to have people bring in their favorite Christmas tree ornament or recipe, and it could be on display, and maybe we could be open during Christmas in the Valley and have people come in to see what they submitted or what their friends submitted. And then I started to think we should really go beyond that because there's a whole lot of other things that are celebrated in this community now or has been for a while. But I think Smithers has definitely become more diverse in the 10 years that I've been living here. And it was like, this is a great way to share that growing diversity and all of the different types of celebrations that are happening in the community, some that we may be really aware of, like Christmas, and some we might be less aware of, and to help newcomers to the community share their culture as well. So I said, let's open it up to any festival, any celebration, any tradition that you have in your family. Bring us an item, whether it's something like a Christmas tree ornament, or my coworker is going to be submitting related to a dish that her family, they're French Canadian, a dish they always make at Christmas, so a recipe. We've had a submission that's going to be a lamp from Diwali and some photos of holly being celebrated locally. We've had a couple submissions so far, and they're right in the spirit of what I was hoping to see, which is really great.
Yeah, nice. So you're looking for people to make submissions. How and when's the deadline?
So on our website, bvmuseum.org, under news or under exhibits, you can find it in two places. There's links for the Smithers Celebrates page of information. And we have an online Google submission forms, or people can come in with their idea and we can take down the information in the museum as well. We're here all day during the week. We're hoping to have all the submissions come in by November 7th, but we understand that people might be hearing about it a little bit after the deadline. So even into next week, past Remembrance Day, if you have something and you think, oh no, I missed the deadline, don't worry about that. We're happy to keep adding things. The deadline was more so we had a sense of how much do we have to chase people down and also so we know for generating the information that goes with the stuff and printing it, just to give ourselves time for that. And we're hoping to have everything up and put together by November 24th, and it'll be on display till December 20th, so it ends up being about 4 weeks for the display.
Yeah, that's really nice. We're sitting in front of something that someone submitted. Can you talk a little bit about this?
Sure, yeah. So actually, this is an item from the museum's collection that we're going to be putting in, because we have a couple items to show. And it's a rolling pin for making, and all the Germans in the crowd, please forgive me, Springele, which is a type of biscuit that is associated with Advent and with Christmas in German tradition. So the rolling pin has all these cutouts in it for making cookies that when you roll it, they come out with these little patterns on them. And this is traditional in Germany at the Christmas time. time of year. They're anise flavored. The Dutch do a similar one called, again, forgive me, speculoos. Similar kind of thing. And they're sometimes the German ones are actually hung on the Christmas tree when they dried out, or they may be eaten or given as gifts. So this is an example of a tradition that's come to Canada and come to Smithers with somebody, and that's exactly what we're looking for. Canada is a multicultural place, so is Smithers, mm-hmm. So what are all these different pieces that are part of celebrations? And it is incredible when you start to look into it a little bit. It's like almost pretty much every religion has some sort of festival of light, festival of spring. We like to celebrate the same sorts of things. And so you see these commonalities in these threads, things like special biscuits, special breads, special recipes. These are all across different traditions. We're excited to see those. If you're not sure if what you're thinking of is what we want, get in touch with us. It probably is. And for those of you who are thinking of loaning something that is Christmas related, the last date of the show is the 20th. So we're going to get it back to you in time for Christmas. You can still hang it on your tree or use it to make your Christmas Day fruitcake or whatever you're doing. So yeah.
Thank you.
Of course. Thanks very much.
That's it for this week's Scoop. Catch us next week, Thursdays at 12 p.m. in Smithers, Thursdays at 4 p.m. in Burnaby, Fridays at 8 a.m. in Nanaimo, and weekdays at 7:30 in Prince George. The Scoop was made possible by funding from the Canadian government and the Local Journalism Initiative, a Community Radio Fund of Canada initiative.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM.
Broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain, British Columbia.
This is Bird Note. A massive bird soars along the New England coastline, above nesting islands and cliffs inhabited by puffins and other seabirds. This bird's broad black wings measure more than 5 feet across, in bold contrast with its white head and tail. Its beak is long and thick. A bald eagle might come to mind, but this is no eagle. It's a great black-backed gull, the world's largest gull. Great black-backed gulls can be found on both sides of the North Atlantic. And their diet, like that of other large gulls, includes fish, squid, and winter visits to landfills. But it's their reputation as serious predators of other birds that really sets this huge gull apart. During the nesting season, great black-backed gulls prey on eggs and nestlings of other seabirds. They'll also hunt adult seabirds like puffins and grebes, and songbirds as big as a grackle. Just over a century ago, these birds were nearly wiped out by feather hunters and egg collectors. And though their populations recovered with help from environmental protections, great black-backed gulls are in decline once again. And scientists are still trying to figure out why. What we can say for certain is that this majestic gull that soars like an eagle is a marvel worth fighting for. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
Don't tell me that you love me. The ugliness still haunts me. Is that anybody here to understand what's dear? To meet anybody who you want to stand next to?
Listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, your alternative to mainstream media. Broadcasting from Simon Fraser University at Burnaby Mountain, British Columbia.
Good day. You're listening.